forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense, common knowledge, or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do, but only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast, now part of the Finding Genius Foundation. My guest today is Laura Ward Welfel. We're going to talk about a topic called Erlen Syndrome, I-R-L-E-N. It's been referred to as Mears-Erlen Syndrome. It's got topic sensitivity syndrome and visual stress. We're going to get into what this syndrome's about and what can be done about it. I think it's going to be a really fascinating call. So welcome, Laura. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
Yeah, if you would, maybe you could start out with a little bit of background on yourself. How did you become knowledgeable about this, about Erlen syndrome? Like, what happened in your life?
Okay, well, I have a very good story. So my education is I have a bachelor's degree in child development from the University of Texas at Austin, and I have a master's in psychology from St. Edward's University, and recently went back to school online and got a educational doctorate in reading and literacy through Capella University. But none of this would have been achieved if I hadn't found out I had Erlen syndrome and gotten the help for it. So my story is I'm 54, so I'm a kid that grew up in the elementary school was the 70s, and I was an 80s mall hangout kind of girl in the 80s. But when I was in elementary school and started to learn to read, I really struggled. And I wasn't in public school. And of course, in the 70s, we didn't have the American Disabilities Act either, ADA. So my mom was a school teacher and she worked with me. I had to go to tutors. I was lucky enough to live here in Austin, Texas, next to the University of Texas, where I got to go to super fun reading camps over at UT, which were not fun for me, but they try to make it fun.
Right.
And I get to high school and I'm in honors English. My mom insisted I'm in honors English, but I was always the one in class that made the lowest grades and felt like it took me forever to get my work done. And I felt stupid. I was like, look, all these other people, they're just brain, and I'm always the one at the bottom of the ladder with the lowest grades in the class. And
what were you experiencing? Do you remember what was making it hard for you? Like, was it reading comprehension, or what were you experiencing back then?
So in elementary school, my mom, I had all these tests done at UT, and all they could come up with for my parents was, we think Laura is mildly dyslexic or mildly ADHD. But at the time, they didn't do anything about it. I wasn't put on any medication or anything like that. My mom just decided to work with me. I just didn't like to read. I didn't like to read for long periods of time. I'd fall asleep. I get tired and I'd fall asleep. And I didn't remember what I read. And I just didn't like it. That's all. I just remember, like, I just don't like to read. And I didn't read for fun. And so here I am in high school, and I in honors English. And that's when my self-esteem started to decline. It was like, oh, I'm not as smart as everybody else. I'm stupid, blah, blah, blah. Because I just was working so hard and wasn't achieving the grades that my effort was. The amount of effort that I was putting in was not resulting in great grades that I thought I should be getting. I did get into the University of Texas, barely. And I never read a textbook. When I got to college, I didn't read a textbook. I decided as long as I went to class and I listened and I took notes, I passed. Now I know I'm an auditory learner. That's my strength. I'm a visual learner and an auditory learner. There's different kinds of learning. People learn different ways, visually, auditorily, hands-on, which is called kinesthetic, or the written word. And so I was going along passing, barely, you know, it was my fifth senior year. Yes, I did go for 5 years because I changed my major. And I had a roommate with blue colored glasses. Now, this is 1991. We did not have any scientific proof in the brain that this existed until around 2005. So it was still, Erlen syndrome was still considered like a tool to help struggling readers. So I have this roommate with blue colored glasses, and I'm like, what's the deal? Are you a jazz singer? Why are you wearing blue colored glasses? And she says, oh no, I have Erlen syndrome. And she starts telling me some symptoms. And I'm like, I'm sitting there listening to her. I'm like, I'm going, that sounds a lot like me. And she said,
What were the symptoms, by the way?
Oh, didn't like to read. Didn't like to read for long periods of time. Getting easily fatigued when reading. Falling asleep when reading. Depth perception problems. Being a little clumsy. And we can get into that. And I said, sounds like me. And she said, well, hey, come home with me one weekend. And she lived in Dallas. And she said, come home with me one weekend. My mom's a reading specialist in the Dallas school district. And my mom will screen you. And I said, screen? She's like, yeah, she'll do this Erlen screening on you. I was like, okay. You know, I was 21. I like to go up to Dallas. So I was like, okay, let's go. Let's go to Dallas. And so I get up there and I sit at the kitchen table and I do this screening and I look at different shapes and I'm counting boxes. I'm counting how many stars that I see. I'm doing different visual activities. And the lady pulls out these plastic sheets, these colored, translucent colored sheets. And she had 10 of them. And she started out with this blue one and a yellow one. Then I looked at an orange one, a rose-colored one, a purple, a green, a blue-gray, a gray. Anyway, she puts these down over these tasks that I'm doing. Those tasks, these visual tasks that I'm struggling, like counting how many boxes I see in a row on a picture. And I'm like, she puts this yellow one on. And I'm like, wow, I'm fast. And I got the answer right. And she's like, okay, well, let's read. So she brings out something for me to read. And she says, I want you to read out loud to me on this white sheet of paper. So it's just white and black, you know, the typical New Times Roman print, you know. I want you to start reading to me out loud. So I start reading and, you know, I'm a little choppy. I might miss a line, like skip a line. I was just choppy and my flow wasn't very good. And then she puts down the yellow overlay over the reading material and she says, keep reading. And I start going, la 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 la. I just start reading smoothly. I wasn't choppy. I didn't skip a sentence. And cool. And I was like, oh, wow. And I said, this is interesting. It felt good. I don't know. It just, my body, if I felt comfortable, where now I know I was always struggling to read. I was squinting. By the way, I would always get eye exams. My eye exams were always fine. 20/20, Laura doesn't need glasses, but I was squinting before, you know, and struggling. And so here I am. Blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, if you like this so much, you know, there's a next step where you can go get lenses and you're not going to have, they said, then when you go get an Erlen filter assessment for your glasses, those people have so many more colors to work with and you might find something that works even better. So I'm like, well, okay. So I come home and I tell my mom and my dad about how this yellow sheet is making things so much easier for me to read. And my dad did not believe it. He was like, this is a bunch of bunk, whatever. And my mom's like, you know, moms are like, I'll do whatever. If this is going to help you, let's do this. And right. At the time, this was 1991, there were only two people in the state of Texas that could do the lenses. And I went to Houston and I saw Dr. Carol Zaccone. She is a school psychologist. And she was the first one to bring the method to Texas, as a matter of fact. And I actually was tested by her husband, Dom Zaccone, who was also a school psychologist. And he looked at me.
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on Support Us. We have 3 levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click Support Us today. Now back to the show.
And he said, he put a piece of paper in front of me, a blank piece of paper, and gave me a pencil. And he said, I want you to write a sentence. And he gave me some sentence like, hello, my name is Laura. My favorite food is pizza or whatever. And he purposely gave it to me on a blank piece of paper with no lines. And I write what he asked me to write. And he looks at it. He goes, well, this is really interesting. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you're starting to write uphill. And I was like, yeah, I've always kind of done that. And he said, have you ever had a hard time staying on the line? And my mom said, yeah, when she was little and started to learn to write, she had a really hard time staying on the line. And he said, well, that's another symptom of Irlen syndrome. And so anyway, so we go through the testing process and I find this combination of colors that when I held it up over my eyes, I did not see a shade of pink, a shade of yellow, a shade of blue. When I looked through the right colors for me, I saw normal colors around the room. Now it was a little darker, but I felt comfortable. It was like my eyes were saying, oh, and it was like, oh, and Dom Zaccone said to me, he goes, Laura, you are not stupid. I was 21, barely about to graduate UT, wanted to go to grad school, but I had a 2-2 and my GPA was holding me back from schools wanting to consider me to go to graduate school. And he said, you are not stupid. He said, nobody taught you how you needed to learn to read. He said, and you had to come up with compensatory strategies on your own to get through college. He said, you're not dumb. And I just started crying. I just remember that. And I had taken the GRE for grad school and I did okay. But again, this was before my lenses and my GPA was low. So schools were, you know, not wanting to consider me. But St. Edward's said, take the GRE again. And maybe we get some letters of recommendation from your professors, and we may consider you on probation. So I get my Irlen glasses, my colored glasses. I take the GRE a second time, 6 weeks after the first time I took it. I did not study anymore between the two times because I was done. I was burned out. My score shot through the roof with my Irlen lenses on. I was accepted on probation and I made a 4.0 my first semester in grad school. And I never ever had done that in my life.
That's really cool. And your confidence, I'm sure, grew at the same time.
Exactly. So my confidence grew. I was like, wow, I am smart. I can do this. And it changed the trajectory of my life from going to, oh, I'm just going to get married and be a preschool teacher, which I really wasn't thrilled about doing, to, well, I can do this. I can have a career. I can do it. And so that's my journey. When I was in graduate school, as I was finishing graduate school, and I got trained to be an Irlen screener, which is what is a basic person who just has the 9 colored sheets. They're trained to just work with the page and what you see on the page and find a color or a combination, like you can combine a blue and a blue-gray or something to find something on the page that can help somebody with reading fluency. However, we now know that this is way much more than a reading thing. We now know this is a problem in our brain, in our visual cortex. And
so
I can...
quick idea here. So you didn't have surgery, nothing like that. No crazy medications. It was literally a pair of glasses with the right colors on them. And that changed everything.
You got it. You got it.
That's great.
No medication, no extensive tutoring, you know, or occupational therapy, you know, whatever. None of that. And so it was color. And so would you like me to go and explain what we now know why this is working?
Yeah, right. So what it is, Irlen's syndrome, now that you've been working at it for a long time, you know, what's known about it today?
Sure. So what we know now, and then I can kind of go back on the history if you have any questions. What we know now is that Irlen syndrome is a visual processing issue between our visual cortex in our brain and our eyes. It is not an eye issue. Because I went to my eye doctors. Everybody said my eyes were fine. I had 20/20. This is a processing issue between our brains, specifically our visual cortex and our eyes. And there's two pathways between our visual cortex and our eyes. And one's called magnocellular and the other one's called parvocellular. And what research has been finding is that the timing between the visual cortex and our eyes is off. And this may sound so simple, but you put the right color, and we're talking wavelengths of light. When we find the right wavelength of light for that individual and put it in front of their eyes, the processing between the brain and the eye goes back in sync. And everybody is different. If you have this syndrome, everybody is different. This is why blue blockers do not work for everybody, because blue blockers are made for the masses. It's not individualized. If I wear blue blockers, I will get a headache because it's not the right wavelengths of light that I'm sensitive to.
Quick question here. Has anyone done a study yet on how people with Irlen syndrome respond to blue light exposure, especially at night, or has that not been done yet?
Oh, yeah, that's been done. So
what's the difference between that and people that don't have it?
Well, what Helen Irlen says is, okay, what about blue light, blah, blah, blah. Say, well, if you need that blue blocker, if you need that when we're doing our assessment, because when you see an Irlen diagnostician, which is what I am now, we're the ones that can do the lenses. We will add that blue blocking technology. We have that available in our massive kit of lenses. We will add that if you need it.
But just out of curiosity,
do
Irlen people that have Irlen, are they differently affected, more affected, less affected, or no difference by blue light at night? Just curious.
It depends. It depends on if that's one of the wavelengths of light that they're sensitive to. Yeah. So in my kit, I have over 150 lenses, and every lens is a wavelength of light. And I even get into the infrared spectrum of light. And most people may need a combination of one to four different colors or wavelengths of light. I deal with people with traumatic brain injuries or concussions. I've had somebody needed 15 different colors. But once we put all those wavelengths together, they feel, we have brain research and we can prove it by taking their pulse, they're more calm. And I always ask my client, I say, if your eyes could talk, would they say, this is nice? Or would they go, ew? And if it's ew, it's not the right answer. And so this affects our whole body. The brain, the visual cortex calms down and relaxes, and we can pay attention better. We have better concentration. I've dealt with people with chronic fatigue syndrome that have more energy. They're not as exhausted at the end of the day. So it all depends on what specific wavelength of light they are sensitive to. And that's what we do when you see an Irlen diagnostician.
Are people born with Irlen, or can they acquire it during their life? Let's say if they have a, you know, car accident, head trauma, you know, other things.
Very good question. It is hereditary. Once I got diagnosed, my mom realized she had it and got her lenses and went back to graduate school when I did. And it affects males and females equally. And it can be, and or it can be acquired through some sort of trauma to the brain, some sort of concussion, even certain illnesses. Let's say you have a fever of 103 or higher for a significant amount of time. That does damage to the brain. So that can cause Erlen syndrome. Or Erlen syndrome is on a spectrum from it, like autism. It's from mild, moderate to severe. More severe people may have really bad migraines. I deal with people with chronic migraines, and they've gone and they've had, you know, MRIs and CT scans, and they're taking all sorts of medications, and they're still not getting the relief they need. And we find the right colors or wavelengths of light for their glasses, and we significantly can reduce their migraines. We have a research project where we've worked with the Marine Corps. It's called the Simplify Foundation, found out about Erlen syndrome. And they started to do a pilot program with us, with Marines that were coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan with traumatic brain injury and having severe migraines. And we still do this, but out of a subject group of 430 Marines, we were able to either reduce significantly their migraine medication or get them off migraine medication with the Erlen lenses. So that was really cool. And my husband's 100% disabled veteran and has a traumatic brain injury, and he has his Erlen lenses. So my heart really goes.
Yeah, people that are born with it, you know, they come at it from a hereditary angle versus people that develop it due to head trauma. Do you notice anything different about their experience? Do they have different symptoms? Do they need different colors? Like, what's the difference?
Well, so their symptoms, the only way their symptoms are different is, it, like in a case of a traumatic brain injury, is they had good depth perception. They didn't have headaches when they read. They didn't have, you know, they didn't struggle to read or have academic issues. And then they have their traumatic brain injury or their sports concussion. And now they're struggling with reading comprehension or depth perception or headaches. So it's still the same group of symptoms. It's just, well, did it start at birth? Or did it start after your brain injury? So, and as far as brain injury people need these colors and hereditary people need those colors, everybody, it's individualized. It's individualized to, it's your brain, your specific brain is different than everybody else's brain. So we need to figure out how to balance your brain. So you cannot see Erlen syndrome in an MRI or a CT scan. You can see it in a functional MRI, which insurance doesn't like to pay for, or a SPECT scan, which stands for, single photon emission computer tomography. And in a SPECT scan measures blood flow, and it shows where, like, there's too much blood flow, like an overactivity, or too little blood flow, like an underactivity. And through where the blood flow is going, you can actually see Erlen syndrome in a SPECT scan and in a functional MRI. Cornell University has been researching Erlen syndrome since 2016-17, and we were getting some really, really good research out of Cornell using functional MRIs, and then COVID happened and they had to shut down their program for 2 years. But they're back up and running, and they've presented at some national brain trauma conventions with neurosurgeons. They're currently getting some of their articles published in, you know, peer-related journals about what is actually happening in the brain through functional MRIs with Erlen syndrome. So that's also really very exciting.
No, this is a great hero story. It's not a surgery. It's not invasive. It's not, you know, the effects seem to be immediate. There doesn't seem to be any side effects that you've described. I mean, is there anything that's difficult about this or negative?
Awareness. There's a lot of negativity, especially in the optometry world. They've gotten a lot of, they're either not educated or they hear through the grapevine that, oh, colors, that's just silly. Colors don't help you with eyesight. No, they don't help you with eyesight. They help you balance your brain. But so there's that. The dyslexia world, the International Dyslexia Association, is threatened in some ways by the process, because as you go back to my story, I was misdiagnosed dyslexic and or mildly ADHD, and I turned out to have neither. And this is very, very common about if you have some sort of learning issue, whether it's autism, ADHD, dyslexia, or there's all sorts of other learning processes that can happen, you have a 50% chance of having Erlen syndrome either as part of your problem. We always say Erlen is a piece of the puzzle. It could be part of your ADHD or part of your dyslexia, like you could have both, or you could have been misdiagnosed because people don't test for Erlen syndrome at first. So
yeah, I would think eye doctors, this should be a vital complement to what they do. You should all do it.
Right.
Stupid nuts.
Right. And on the school front, when you're testing somebody for dyslexia, I get parents all the time. I've been doing the lenses since 2007, and I get parents all the time that have had their children tested, whether in the school district or privately. They've spent thousands of dollars on tests to see if there's any learning issues, and they get a result of, well, they're borderline dyslexic, but you don't quite qualify for any services in a school because you're borderline. And they come back and I test them. Well, one, I look at the dyslexia test, and there's a sub-test on when they're testing for dyslexia that has to do with visual processing. And so what I quite find when people bring me these results is that the child is doing really well on different sub-tests of the dyslexia screening or the achievement test, but their visual spacing subset test, they bomb. And that skews the whole average because they just bomb this one subtest. And so it's very frustrating. When I'm teaching, I teach people to be Erlen screeners. I teach teachers, occupational therapists, nurses, speech therapists. I teach them how to be screeners. I always tell them this. I say, if you were going to give an achievement test, an IQ test, to a child, and you knew they needed reading glasses, would you say, you know what, I'm going to give you this test, and you're not going to use your reading glasses during this test, this achievement test? Would you get accurate results? No, you would not, because you took their reading glasses away. This is the exact same thing. If we don't fix the visual processing problem that is happening in the brain, you are not going to get accurate results on your testing because you haven't given them those glasses. You haven't given them something that helps their eyes or helps their brain before, so you can measure their true level of achievement.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Same with ADHD. Well, a lot of ADHD tests.
I was going to ask you, so how often is dyslexia or ADHD actually Erlen syndrome? Or when people get the glasses, have ADHD or dyslexia, does it go away completely or just partially?
That's a good question, because I get parents asking me that all the time. They're like, well, does my child really have dyslexia or does my child really have ADHD? And I say, I can't answer that question right now. We do know they have Erlen syndrome. So what we're going to do is your child's going to wear their Erlen glasses. You're going to continue the therapy, whatever therapy you're doing, tutoring or whatever you're doing. We're going to continue that. And then we're going to see after 3 months, has the child caught up completely, you know, grade level wise, or are there still some things that are off? So if it clears up, I've seen kids go from being two reading levels below their grade level, and in 3 months getting caught up. And that way, that's Erlen syndrome. I'm like, that was it. That was their main problem. But if they're still struggling a little bit, okay, well, maybe there's something else of a piece of the puzzle that's going on, the ADHD or the dyslexia. The International Dyslexia Association now defines dyslexia as a phonological issue. That's what they say now. It's a phonological issue. Erlen syndrome is a visual processing issue, visual processing, but our symptoms can really look the same.
What do parents say, or the people that have ADHD or dyslexia, what do they say after they have Erlen for a while? Do they still feel impaired or do they feel totally fine?
I wish I could show you some of my videos of some of my kiddos that could I play an audio of one particular girl?
And sure, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
She does a really good job. This is a middle schooler. Now, she's very severe. She has depth perception issues, and she does a very good job about explaining how this has helped her. So let's listen to her. Let me get her started here. There she goes.
All right. Hi, Dr. Laura. I just wanted to tell you how the lenses have affected me. So basically, on a day when I don't have enough contact lenses and I don't wear my glasses, it's not a fun day.
What happened?
Well, basically, the first time I didn't wear my glasses, I bumped into three people in the first 5 minutes of the school day. Then I tripped over like 20,000 things and could barely see the board in front of me. So I was kind of like, level time, and I actually had to get moved to the front of the class, which was really annoying because I hate being in the front. But then all of a sudden, I put these on the next day, like when I got my contacts, and like I'm walking around, I'm seeing quarters, I'm like, nope, it's up. Like,
she's
so
she's not running into things.
My usuals. But then I went, and I was like, wow. And so instead of running into corners, I went around them. Instead of running into people, I went around them. Instead of hitting corners, I went around them. Instead of hitting walls, I went around. And then the board, I was able to see the words. They looked like, I don't know how to explain it, but blacker, like sharper.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. Without them, the words look a little like, it's that thing behind the words that it's like very bright. The words kind of look like they're floaty, brighty. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, I can totally read this.
Right.
And then the glasses are on, and like, oh, it's white, and it's normal. And it's just like, oh, you're not surprised.
That's awesome. So, what about your PTSD episodes? They've gone.
Oh my gosh, that's been ridiculously different.
Yeah.
I took these off, and I had the, like, because I didn't have my contacts, I had the worst day ever because, like, all the noise seemed like 100 times louder. And I literally came home crying because, like, it was so loud in the lunchroom and the hallways. And then the next day, I've got my glasses back on, and I'm like, why was I upset? Like, this isn't so bad.
What do you want to say to
them? I just wanted to say thank you so much for helping me. The glasses have been a major difference. Like, major difference. Like, I'm not running into things.
Isn't that great?
That's very cool, yeah. Again, do people that have dyslexia or ADHD, it sounds like it that they have no problems when they're wearing their glasses. Is that the case?
That's right. And it's instant. It's not like when you go to an eye doctor and they say, okay, you're going to have to get used to this prescription. It's instant. You know, that's why I have them read out loud with and without their colors. I take them outside because of the depth perception can be an issue. I have them walk around with and without the colors. I try to make them walk a straight line and see. And so my depth perception people have a trouble walking a straight line or walking on the curb without their lenses, and they put their lenses on and they're like, oh wow, and walking back and forth. Yeah, it's instant. And you literally, your brain relaxes. And what she was talking about was the noise in her classroom. So a lot of people, another learning or another issue for a lot of people, especially people on this autism spectrum, have, it's called sensory integration disorder, and they're excessively sensitive to noise, textures, light, and they can have, and it just overwhelms their system where they literally have meltdowns. And I've had parents that had autistic children say, okay, well, is this going to help the noise sensitivity that my child has? And I said, well, indirectly, I said, we're fixing the visual processing issue. We're calming that part of the brain down. Once that part of the brain is calm and not overloaded, the brain can go, you know what? I don't have to deal with this problem that anymore. I can focus maybe on that noise issue. So I have had my clients tell me that they're not as sensitive to noise or background noise as they used to be when they're wearing.
Well, a couple things jump out at me. One is that, you know, if your depth perception is off, your eyes would constantly be trying to reconcile what's going on, you know, moving back and forth. It would tire out the muscles, the brain. It would suck up more attention from the brain than maybe would be needed to process visually what's going on.
That's right.
Also, you know, auditory cues would not match based on visual cues. And there'd be also a reconciliation there that would take more brain power. So I could see how it would make you very tired, and it would strain these systems constantly to be in this state.
That's right. Very well said.
The girl mentioned contacts. Are there Erlang contacts, or is it not there yet?
So yes, what she was talking about, which is that if you have you can definitely have a vision problem and an Irlen problem. So we can make glasses with both your vision prescription and your color. Or some people choose to wear clear contacts for their vision prescription and just get what we call Plano Irlen lenses, which don't have the prescription, just the color, and they wear them when they need it the most. Now, so like sometimes, you know, they might just, when they're on the computer or they're in the bright fluorescent classroom. But we do make Irlen contacts. They're expensive. The process is very, takes a while. It's very tedious, but it is available. It is available in with a vision prescription as well. You can, it'll tint just the pupil, the black part of your eye, so you don't look like you have purple eyes or yellow eyes or anything like that. So people really can't tell that you're wearing them. And those are really good for like people playing sports. Like I have a swimmer, a competitive swimmer. I have a girl that I've been seeing for 10 years who's now a ballet dancer in New York City, and she can't wear the glasses on stage. The lights on the stage would make her dizzy without her lenses. So yes, it can be done.
If people need different colors, then you know what they're looking at. Like, is there a bifocal type thing where, you know, if I'm outside and normal vision, I need a certain color. And if I'm reading, I need a different color. Therefore, I need bifocal Irlens.
Oh, so I will tell you, I have two different pairs. Now, I have what's called, when you come for an assessment for Irlen filters for the lenses, we start with what we call your general pair. We want to find a combination of colors that works well in most environments, like on the computer, outside, walking around fluorescent lighting. I'll get into that. Fluorescent lighting exacerbates our symptoms. I'll tell you why here in a minute. But, and so we want to get a pair that seems to do well in all environments as best as possible. Then if you want to get specific, for example, I have a sunglass pair. I have two colors. I have two wavelengths of light in my glasses. My sunglass pair for outdoors actually has my two colors that are in a little denser. They're a little more intense in that color. And I've added some sunglass tint to it. And I love those things, especially on bright sunny days here in the summer in Texas. Those are wonderful. So, but my general pair is great for when I'm on the computer or even night driving. I have a lot of adult complaining of night driving. And this gets into that, what I was saying about fluorescent lighting can exacerbate our symptoms. Well, LED lighting can also exacerbate our symptoms. What happens, what we found out is natural light or full spectrum lighting is well balanced in all the colors of the rainbow. Think of Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, violet. I kind of lost my place. It's full spectrum. All the wavelengths are represented. It's all balanced. When we get to LED lighting, we have some support in the blue indigo area and not very much support in the red orangish wavelengths of light. If you have an incandescent light bulb, if you can find an incandescent light bulb anymore, it mostly has just the warm colors of the spectrum, like the yellows, the reds, the oranges. And then fluorescent lighting, I wish I could show you a picture. It is not balanced in any of the wavelengths. It's all over the place. It's up and down. It is not balanced. And therefore, that, since it is so unbalanced with all the wavelengths of light, when an Irlen person, I'm using me as an example, tries to sit, I'm thinking back to elementary school or middle school, having to sit in a classroom all day with fluorescent lighting. No wonder I was called mildly ADD. I would fall asleep. I would not be concentrating at all. I'd be daydreaming, looking out the window. Other people can get really irritable. They can get really jumpy. They can't sit still.
I used to work as an engineer at Motorola and Intel, and it was all fluorescence inside. And when I was inside, I just felt like I didn't want to do anything. I had no motivation.
Yeah.
And every day at lunch, I would go out to like Starbucks or go out. And as soon as I was in the sun, I was like, oh, I felt so much better. And I was motivated to do stuff. And I just hated being indoors under that light.
Oh, exactly. So now most of our headlights and our street lights are LED lights. So more and more, I'm getting adults complaining about night driving. And so we can find the wavelengths of light they're sensitive to. And they wear their Irlen lenses for night driving. And they feel more comfortable and confident because they can see things more clearly. They can judge their distances better. So yeah, our lighting environment has a lot to do with this. I love, there's a, on the internet, there's an international board for Irlen syndrome, and there's a doctor, well, two doctors that are on the board that are eye specialists in Brazil, and they actually have an eye hospital in Sao Paulo, and they're very well respected in their studies with the eyes and everything. And I heard him speak at an international Irlen conference one time, and he said that our eyes are in the Stone Age. Our eyes are in the Stone Age, but we're forcing our eyes to adjust to our artificial life with all this artificial lighting. And our eyes have not evolved to adapt to fluorescent lighting, to LED lighting. So that's, from his perspective, a part of the problem is our eyes haven't adjusted to our indoor lifestyle that we live as human beings now. Makes sense to me. Makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. How long does the whole process take? And, you know, what are the steps? If someone's listening and they think they may have a problem, like, what are the steps they should take to get help?
Sure. So the first step I would suggest is to go to irlen.com, irlen.com. And there's a self-test on there. And there's a long self-test and there's a short self-test. And you can do that. And it asks you a bunch of questions, and then it'll recommend that maybe you need to go see an Irlen screener. So an Irlen screener is a person that does the initial evaluation. They determine if you have Irlen syndrome and what severity, mild, moderate to severe, and they can only work with the colored overlays over the page or over the computer screen. If you fall in the moderate to severe area, especially if you have headaches or get really sleepy from reading or get dizzy from reading, then you need to go to an Irlen diagnostician that can do the glasses. And on the Irlen website, there's a spot on the Irlen website says find a diagnostician. And you can go there and find anybody in your state or anybody worldwide, because we have Irlen diagnosticians all over the world. Australia is really big. I mean, the UK is really big with this method. I've even met a lady in Dubai and South Africa and in Johannesburg. So we're all over. So you can find, that's where you would go, and you'd find somebody that's near you and that can help you out.
Yeah, no, that's great. What is the future of Irlen? Do you think that maybe there could be a lens that somehow has liquid crystals in it and is computer controlled, and it could dynamically adjust the color scheme depending on what's going on with you?
I don't know.
Well, maybe in the future.
That would be really cool. So, but that's up to the Irlen lab, and, you know, it's a whole patented process, and I've been trained and been doing this, but that's the whole lab, the secrets of the lab. I don't know, what they're envisioning or how to move this forward as far as that. As far as educating people, you know, of course, this method evolved from Helen Irlen in the early 1980s. She was a school psychologist at the University of Southern California, Long Beach. And she started this whole movement with, she had a group of 37 adults who all had high IQs, but could not finish school. And whatever kind of support, tutoring, reading remediation they had, they couldn't finish school. And she was given a task to try to figure something out. And they put this classroom in a theater department because they didn't have room. That's the only place that they had room for. And somebody with, I guess you would say, ADHD tendencies, that was kind of bored, was playing with the colored gels that you put over the lights on the theater, on the stage. There's different gels that you cover the lights with. And he found that a red one, when he put on his page, was helping him read better. So the whole class started playing around with all these colors, and 34 people out of 37 found a color gel that, when they put on their page, made them have better reading fluency, better reading comprehension. That's how it started. That's crazy.
That's pretty cool. That's weird.
Yeah. And so it's grown from there. So it got stagnant in the 90s because before social media, because word got out, teachers were so excited to have this tool, this reading tool to help struggling readers, that just word got through the grapevine that we cured dyslexia. And Helen Erlin never, ever stated that. But word got around and people were using this technique and say, oh, we cured dyslexia. And the International Dyslexia Association did not like that. That's why there's a little rift there. And they will tell you flat out, they will say colored overlays do not work. Don't even try them. Well, they don't work for dyslexia because their definition of dyslexia is a phonological issue. We're a visual processing issue. So yes, but to just tell everybody don't even try it, that is where a lot of the misinformation comes out with certain school districts and stuff. And they say, well, the International Dyslexia Association says this doesn't work. So that's where misinformation comes from. So social media has really put Erlin in the forefront. And, you know, I've been doing this since 1996. I was diagnosed in 1991. When we started Facebook and now we Instagram and TikTok, it's just, I get so many more people reaching out to me for help. And so it's wonderful. We have parent groups, Facebook, that internationally that ask questions and can ask a diagnostician a question for free on Facebook. It's really wonderful to have that information.
Has anyone ever come to you with the symptoms and you've given them the lenses, they say, oh, it seems better, and then it doesn't work after that? Has it ever not worked?
Okay, very good question. Your colors can change. So this is a brain-based issue. Your brain is growing and developing until around age 24. Any changes in your brain can change the wavelengths of light you're sensitive to. So just growth spurts for kids, when they hit puberty, I see changes, growth spurts, certain medications. If they are on an ADHD medication or an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety medication, those can change their colors for adults too. God forbid you get a concussion on top of having Erlin syndrome. You can have a change in color. Now, we go back to the hereditary versus I obtained it because of a brain injury situation. I have witness that those with the brain injury, like some of the Marines that I've worked with, we've been able to lighten their colors up over time because their brain has started to heal. I haven't known anybody completely off the glasses. I do know some people don't wear them because I'll have parents come to me and say, oh, I want you to put, I have Erlin syndrome. I want you to do the glasses for my son. And I say, well, where's your glasses? And he said, well, I don't wear them. And I'll say, well, why? It's because they've chosen a profession such as firefighter. I've had oil rig builder, you know, some sort of outdoorsy, maybe a plumber. They're like, they're not sitting in a cubicle sitting at a computer screen all day long. So they're able to, that, like, they'll say, oh, I found some sunglasses that help. So I just wear those when I need them. But I want you to do the lenses for my child because the child's in the classroom all day long. So,
well, yeah. What about people that profess colorblindness or have been tested to be colorblind? How does it work with them?
At first, when we were starting to do all the research, we thought this had something to do with colorblindness. And actually, research has ruled that completely out. It's two separate issues. But even though you have colorblindness of some sort, where you're still sensitive to certain wavelengths of light. So I'm still going to put those lenses over you until I balance your brain. So
But it doesn't, like if someone can't see blue-green, where their lenses tend to be blue-green, or if they are, does that mean it doesn't work for them, or there's no overlap?
No, there's really no overlap. It's really two separate things. It's like, if I knew they had some sort of color blindness, we're going to work to balance their brain where they just can read more smoothly. They look around, they have better depth perception, no matter what color it is, that our goal is to just have them be able to have better depth perception, better comfort when reading or looking at the computer screen.
Okay. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Well, this has been a great, great call. So the best way for people to find out if they have an issue is, look up, again, Erlin syndrome online. And then where can you serve people Is it only in person or is it remotely? And, you know, if so, like, how can people get in contact with you? Where's your coverage area?
Great. Well, my website is pretty simple to remember. It's centraltexastherapyclinic.com, centraltexastherapyclinic.com. Not everybody can do this. You have to be specifically trained. I can do the initial Erlen screening virtually with somebody if they're at least a teenager. I can't do it with children. But if they're around 13, 14 and adults, I can do a virtual screening. So I've done virtual screenings all over the United States. But when it comes to the lenses, you have to do that in person. And I am in Austin. So I do have people have traveled. They travel from other states and I have people fly in. I have a client that in Little Rock, and she flies in, takes an Uber. We do our annual tent check appointment, make sure her lenses are working right for her, and then she gets back on Southwest and flies back to our market. So, not every state has an Erlen diagnostician. Texas, there's currently three. There's three in Houston. There's me in Austin and one in Dallas. And then you don't have anybody in Oklahoma, New Mexico. We don't have anybody in New Mexico anymore. We have a new diagnostician in Louisiana. She was recently trained, but just one. So there's nobody in Mississippi. So you just have to look around. Yeah.
Well, very good. Again, thank you so much for coming, Laura. It's been a great call and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at findinggeniuspodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.